Welcome, buddies. How you guys doing? I hate the term buddies, guys. Like, I have a really, my best friend says, hey, buddy, or hi, buddy. And I'm just like, I can't stand it. I think it's because, like, I think buddy, when you call someone a buddy, it sounds kind of condescending and like you're making fun of them. And so I just don't like it. But you guys are more than my buddies. You guys are our friends, compadres, amigos to this podcast. I'm so glad you guys are back with me for 15 minutes with Frank. It's a beautiful day in Milwaukee today. It's sunny. It's warm. It's like in the high 60s, early 70s. And it feels good outside. And so I feel good today to do this podcast, man. I'm so excited. As always, if you haven't done so, subscribe to the podcast, subscribe to the mail list on the website, frankgill.me, all that good stuff, so you can be the first to hear when the podcast is updated. Also, eventually I'm going to put like secret stuff in the email, so that way those of you who are subscribed to the emails will get some bonus stuff, some special stuff, some secret stuff, because that's what we do to our friends. We allow them to participate in things that are special. Last night, Infused in my youth group, dude, it was crazy, dude. It's so many weird things happened. Like everything that could go wrong went wrong. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight in this podcast. You know, whether you're in your car, your earphones or whatever, everything that went wrong. And it was crazy. But at the end of the night, we survived and went well. We had a good group of kids and we're going to talk about it right now. Let's dive into it. All right. 15 minutes with Frank. So we last night was different. Yesterday was different because we also had a mission trip meeting, right? So we had we're taking a group of 15 students to Guatemala, and this summer. And so we have our mission trip meetings once a month, an hour and a half before my leader meeting, or 2 hours before Fuse, before our youth group, And those times are crazy. Like, I'm at church the entire day. I go from the services in the morning to have, like, 3 hours to prepare for the meeting. And it's just nuts. It's just crazy. And we were, like, I felt like I was just talking to Sarah, who's doing the missions trip with me. And she said, like, I felt like it was the most, like, unstructured meeting that we've ever had. And it was true. Like, in the sense, like, we had an outline of what we're going to talk about. But we didn't really, like, talk about specifically what we're going to talk about. So there was a bunch of stuff, like we were going to say, like, we're going to train our kids how to do the VBS, and like we wrote that as like a point of what we're going to do, but we didn't say specifically what we're going to tell the kids of how to prepare for the VBS or what exactly we're going to do. Let me just say this, so you guys don't think I'm like the most ill-prepared person in the world. Like, we did it. Like, we were able to accomplish it. Like, we know what Bible stories we're teaching, how we're going to teach it, if we're doing a craft, if we're doing a song. I mean, all that stuff was detailed out. But, like, I mean, it was pretty incredible. Like, we really didn't know what we were doing right before that meeting. All that we knew is we had to meet, and we had this stuff on the agenda. But specifically within the agenda, I don't want to say we were freestyling it, because we both knew what we wanted to talk about, but we never talked to each other about what we wanted to talk about. So it worked out well. Kids know their roles. They know what to prepare for. We gave them all homework, and they all have stuff to do before the next meeting next month. But after that meeting, we had a leader meeting right after. So like, our ministry meeting ended, my leader meeting began, and we just kind of went over the order of service. I kind of had like a heart-to-heart with my leaders. We had to let some leaders go in the past 3-4 months. For different reasons. Some leaders had to go because like their work schedule wouldn't work out with serving. Some leaders had to go because they hadn't been in the church long. I mean, they were only in church for like a month before they decided to serve. And my heart is, I don't want warm bodies in the room. I want people who like are devoted to the church and devoted to the kids. And I believe that these leaders would have worked out, but like they don't know the church that well. I want them to kind of like learn and grow in the church before they dive right into the student ministry. And then there's a couple leaders we do have to let go because of moral issues. And so it's been tough, man. I think in the total of 3 months, I've had to let go of like six leaders. And it's been crazy. Not either let go or they chose to step out. And it's just been tough, man, because like we do need leaders. Like, so I'm going to explain what happened last night that was crazy. but like we need leaders. But there's a really big desire in my heart. Like, I don't want just warm bodies. I want people to know that like I'm fully invested in them and I want to pastor them. And I think when you pastor your leaders, more than just like lead leaders, but pastor your leaders, you have to make hard decisions because you have to think about what's best for the leader too. And so like if a leader is like running themselves thin because they're doing too much, or if, you know, they're making some moral issues in the background that are kind of compromising who they are, you have to make decisions on behalf of the leader and kind of think of like the youth ministry. You have to compartmentalize like the ministry and then the leader, right? And I think that was really hard. I mean, I think that's the toughest part because like I need people in this room. I need people to lead these students and to lead small group, but I also want to make sure that our leaders are healthy and that they're growing and that like their time in the student ministry is beneficial to them. So sometimes you have to make hard decisions. So like I'm in this weird season where I've had to let go of more leaders than I'm recruiting and training leaders. Like it's a tough place, but like to be consistent and like loving our leaders to Jesus, like you got to make those decisions. So it's kind of a weird place. I'll be honest, it's the first time I've ever been in this kind of situation where like I've had more difficult conversations in the past 3 months with leaders I've had, you know, my entire ministry career, but it's worth it. Like everything is for the sake of these leaders to grow in Jesus and to get closer to him. And if we have healthy leaders, we're going to have a healthy student ministry because those healthy leaders are going to pour into students to make healthy students. So we're in a season, but I'm trusting God that, you know, God's going to provide some more leaders, some more people to come in and be able to invest in them and have those better conversations, hopefully. So we had that. And then one thing we also did is Google. I'll put a link on the website on frangel.me on my website in the show notes. But there is a Google kind of made this really like survey or study about what kids think is cool, what kids think are cool in the world. And it talked a lot about brands, like, do they think Google is cool? Do they think, you know, Facebook is cool? Do they think Instagram is cool? Do they think, you know, Starbucks is cool? You know, those type of things. And I mean, it's funny because like Google did a survey to determine whether or not Google was cool. And sure enough, Google was cool, right? It's kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of silly. But I think one thing I took away from this survey is just like the way students look at social media and the way students look at like different brands and different things, and that kind of helped me kind of put in perspective of like why, where kids are and why they do what they do. And like also, you know, knowing what brands people think kids think are hot or is also helpful in knowing like if I make a reference in my sermon about this, they're gonna think it's dumb. If I reference this in my sermon, it's gonna be relevant and things like that. So anyways, if you haven't seen this has been all over the youth pastor Facebook groups. I'll put it in my show notes because I think it's these type of like little surveys are super helpful for context and for the most part it's a pretty standard thing. I know in my context, like for example, one of the things that said like for millennials, In-N-Out is really cool, but for students, Chick-fil-A is really cool. And like that's true in the South. Like up here in Milwaukee, Chick-fil-A, people are indifferent about Chick-fil-A. Like, I've been the evangelist of Chick-fil-A because it's Chick-fil-A. It's, like, amazing. It's pre-blessed. You don't have to bless the food before you eat it. Like, it's amazing. But, like, our kids don't know about it. They're just like, oh, there's a place that sells chicken? What's the big deal? And I don't know. Maybe it's because, like, my specific group is in this weird part of town where there's, like, 5 Chick-fil-A's in our city, but they're all, like, away from where we are, so maybe they just don't get to it. I don't know. All I know is Chick-fil-A isn't that big of a deal here. But it's a good survey. Check it out. It's in the show notes, frangel.me. And then, we prayed, and then we let the kids in, and I made the mistake again. Like, I feel like I've determined popcorn is a terrible, terrible snack for students. Like, it just leaves a giant mess. And then the other thing I learned last night is that styrofoam cups is a terrible idea. I don't know about you, but, like, my middle school boys love to tear apart styrofoam cups. It's ridiculous. It's crazy. I don't get it. But anyways, I think it's, it's so cheap, though. Popcorn is so cheap, so affordable. And so it's a good snack when you're on a budget, but, like, it's so messy. But anyways, we had snack, popcorn. Kids are coming in. We had a lot of kids there because we had a mission trip meeting, so like it guaranteed like at least 50 students, or if not more. And then And then after that, at a certain time, we showed a funny video, and then we did another leaders riding in cars with Frank. And I brought in one of my volunteer leaders. Her name is Sarah. Great, great friend. And she was funny and she was silly, and we did silly pranks. In fact, the idea of the video is something that I think it'd be funny for youth pastors to do with not just volunteers, but with students. Like, so whatever like your city's known for. So, for example, when I lived in Arkansas, cheese dip is a big deal. In fact, I think like Texas, Arkansas, maybe Oklahoma, like that region of the country, like cheese dip at restaurants are a big, big deal. And so I remember in Arkansas, like every restaurant I would go to had a different kind of cheese dip. And like it was just a big deal. Like you would just order cheese dip as an appetizer. And so I think it'd be funny if like there was a thing where like someone took a student with them and their goal was to go to three or four different restaurants and rate who had the best cheese dip. And so what we did in our video, frozen custard is a big deal in Wisconsin. And so like we went to four different places and tried frozen custard and we rated them. And then on the way to each place, we'd play little silly games and like, I mean, you just have to watch the video. We talked about silly stuff and all, like I said, the purpose of these videos is for our kids to kind of get to know another side of our volunteers. And it was super helpful. Like people learned about Sarah in a way that they didn't know her before. And like all my other videos, like it's just, they're funny, they're silly. And it's being an opportunity for other students who aren't necessarily under the responsibility of our volunteer leader to know who that volunteer leader is and get to know them more. Then we played Dead Cat. And, dude, we made it to, like, level 7 or 8 or something. We made it so far. And we died again. The cat died. It was so much fun. Dead Cat is great. It's finally available in the store. I'll put a link to that in the DYM, in my show notes. It's on DYM. It's $10. It's a special price. Guys, this is worth way more than $10. So if you haven't done so, get it ASAP. Get it yesterday. Get it 5 weeks ago. Get it when you got the membership a year ago. Because, dude, this game is money in the bank. We've played this game for over like 6 weeks now, I think. Kids love it. They like the moment we say we're about to play Dead Cat, all the kids are like, yeah! Like they're screaming. And after each round, especially with the later rounds when it's harder and harder, like they hold their breath and they're like, they don't know what's gonna happen next. And then they're like, if you get it right, they're like, yes. And if they get it wrong, they're like, this sucks. I hate this. It's so funny. It's such a, like, I don't want them to ever find, like, I'm afraid that, like, once they, like, I won't have anything. This game is so good, dude. It's so good. Anyway, then our Fuse host came on and we had two announcements. Number one is this, is we have a baptism on Easter. And three girls in our student ministry are getting baptized. And I want every single student to be at that first service so that way they can see and celebrate the baptism of these three girls. And so, like, this is something that, like, coming to this church, I really want to, like, make a big deal about. And, like, I got this idea from my friends in, like, Saddleback and Justin Knowles in San Dimas and like a couple other people. Like, when it comes to baptism, we want to make the biggest deal about it, because what we're doing is we're celebrating what Jesus is doing within that person. And like, if I'm really trying to make a big deal about having our students not compartmentalize their life from their spiritual life to their regular life, and like really for them to believe that the gospel is in them and working through them, I want them to like really, really see God and like celebrate what he's doing. And I think the clearest example of a time to celebrate what God is doing is at baptism. And like in our church, we have kind of specific rules when it comes to baptism. Like our church really wants all baptisms to happen in the context of the congregation, not like independent from that. And I know some churches, they'll have like baptisms at summer camp, they'll have baptisms like in people's houses. And so I respect my church's desire to, like, have all the baptisms in one place. So with that, to get all the students there is kind of an ordeal, but I want to make it a value. So I'm really pushing having our kids at that first service on Easter Sunday so that way they can celebrate and scream and yell when our kids get baptized. I cannot wait to see that. I love baptizing students. I love the fact the way our church does it is someone reads the person's testimony, and then we dunk them. And like, I just cannot wait. I'm so excited about baptizing these students. And then the other announcement was our Fuse Camp. We're not gonna stop talking about Fuse Camp until registration's closed. Okay, so then we played two games. Okay, so let me back up and say this. So, kind of some of the crazy stuff. All my middle school girl leaders didn't show up, and it's not like their fault. They're not like skipping. It's just circumstance, right? Some was sick, some was on vacation. You know, like this is kind of the way it is. But because of that, like I had no middle school girl leaders, and so I was like thinking, like, what are we gonna do? And then luckily, one of my leaders said, "Okay, I'll take all the middle school girl leaders." And I was like, "All right, good for you, good job." And then the other thing that happened is I got a phone call, like, or a text message 2 hours before youth group, saying, "We're gonna cancel worship tonight because the main worship guy couldn't make it." And at that point, like, you know, some people have told me, like, why don't I just show YouTube videos and we sing the YouTube videos? Like, I'm down with that. I'm not against that. I'm going to try that one day. But, like, I didn't have enough time. It was, like, right before a mission trip meeting. I had stuff I was doing. So I couldn't just, like, take a break and find three YouTube videos, right? So we decided to cancel worship. And I was like, what am I going to do now? So I decided to add another game. So we played two games, okay? So usually we play two games, but I was going to play only one game that last night because I wanted to make sure we have a lot of time in small group. So we said to play two games. The first one is a DYM game called Easter Bunny Real or Fake. And it is what you think it is. It's like Easter facts. You have to determine whether the facts are real or fake. And then the other game was called Theme Song. It's a theme song game. So I've actually have played this before and I've given this out before. But hopefully in the next month or so, this game will be on DYM. It's a game I created. It's basically, I use Spotify, and you can also use YouTube. YouTube actually probably be better, but you use Spotify, and you play theme songs, and the kids have to guess what the theme song is, and they're usually, like, classic theme songs, like the Pokemon theme song, or SpongeBob, and things like that, and then I do, like, silly theme songs that kids might not know, like the Power Rangers theme song, or, like, Season 1 through 4 Boy Meets World theme song, because Season 1 through 4 Boy Meets World theme song is different than Season 5 and on. It's like it changed after Season 4. So anyways, we played that game and the kids loved it because they were going to sing along. Like when we did Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, like I just played the first three notes and they're like, West Philadelphia boy. Like the kids absolutely loved that game. It was super fun. And so instead of worship, we went straight into my message. And that's when I preached. And so we concluded the series that I called Conversations of the Cross, where we talk about, you know, the important conversation Jesus had right before he died. And I talked about the thief. I talked about the thief where, you know, he turns to Jesus and says, "Will you remember me when you die?" And Jesus turns to him and says, you know, today, you will be with me in paradise. Like when he dies, he'll be with him in paradise. And I talked about this. It's like when you look at this story, everybody, like in those like few verses, everybody's mocking Jesus, right? Like the soldiers are mocking Jesus. The crowd is mocking Jesus. Even one of the people, one of the criminals being crucified next to him is mocking him. And the only person that's mentioned that's not mocking Jesus is not a religious person because they're trying to kill him. It's not a disciple. They're all cowering out. It's not even his own mother. We don't know where she is. She's not mentioned in this part of the story. She's probably crying somewhere, like super sad. But the only person that at all is saying anything positive is the other thief on the cross. And the two things the thief says I think is important is first, A, the thief acknowledges that he deserves to be there. Like he acknowledges that he is sinful, that he deserves everything that's coming towards him. And the second thing he does is all he says to Jesus is, "Remember me." Like basically, like he's saying to Jesus, like, "Don't remember what I've done. Don't remember like, you know, that I had your back when everyone didn't." Like he's just turning to Jesus and Jesus, like, if you could show mercy to me, like at all, if there's any, like the definition of mercy is like you are incapable of anything and everything, and this person has full control over his desire and will to whether or not to allow you to do something. And so he's saying, show me mercy, right? Like if you can find it in your heart, please remember me. That's all he said. And so I deduced that what the thief did is He confessed that he was a sinner, and he believed that Jesus could show him mercy. And that's the, I transitioned to that to say, like, those are the conversation. That's the conversation we need to have with Jesus. Confess our sins. We have to admit that we're sinful and believe in him. Believe that he is the one that could save us. Dude, it was a good time. I kind of went a little Paul Washer on them. Literally, like, I just kept talking about, like, do you know why Jesus died for you? Like, I was talking about hell. And I talked about, like if you believe Jesus died for you, you have to ask yourself, why did Jesus die for you? And then if you say, oh, so I could be in heaven with him, then I would say, well, then where were you going to be? Like, if Jesus died so you could go to heaven, where were you originally going to go? And the ultimate answer is that ultimately you were going to go to hell. Why were you going to hell? Because of your sin. And like, I was very, very blunt in talking about that kind of like hell and heaven and sin and all that kind of stuff. And like, I went so Paul Washer on them. I talked about the Moravian missionaries. And if you don't know about the Moravian missionaries, first off, if you don't know who Paul Washer is, I get it. He's not like a John Piper or a Francis Chan or anything. He's like a little more low key of a name, but he's this like pastor amongst the Reformed community who's most famously known for I think it's called like the world's something like I forgot. It was basically he did this sermon. It's on YouTube where he talked to like 500 kids in the youth group and he basically told them that like they're all going to hell. I mean, that's not what he did. He was actually very loving and compassionate. But I think what people take away from that is like him just rebuking the crap out of them. I think it's Paul Washer, who talks about the Moravian missionaries, where there's these two people who sold themselves into slavery, leaving their family behind, leaving their wives and their family behind to sell themselves into slavery in the 1700s. So that way, this group of like 100 African slaves could hear the gospel. Because without them going there, they would never hear the gospel. And that's what they're known for, is like their selflessness and like forsaking everything and their accounting the cost to just be able to go and reach these slaves for Jesus. So I talked about all that, dude. I don't know what compelled me to just go straight Paul Washer on them and just be like, hell is real. Believe in Jesus, Moravian missionaries, the lamb that was slain. Like, I was doing all that kind of stuff. But I despite all that, I talked to my leaders afterwards and they said, dude, the kids loved it. Like, there was some really good conversation about hell and like our you know, why do we believe in Jesus? And like, do we, you know, are we the thief on the left or are we the thief on the right? Are we the thief mocking Jesus or are we the thief asking for mercy? Like, I think those conversations were good. And so, hey, it's a win, right? At the end of the day, it's not about me. It's about what the Holy Spirit saying through me. And I praise God that he was able to take my words, mumble them up, and put them in someone's ear the right way. So with that being said, guys, please share this with a friend. Ladies, please share this with a friend. Tell someone to download this podcast. I'm working on getting this podcast for my Google friends, for my Android friends. So I don't know if that's Stitcher or if that's the Google Play. I have no idea, guys. Like, I am such a novice to this podcast stuff. I literally don't know what I'm doing, but hopefully I can get this stuff to my Android friends so that way if you have Android and you listen to podcasts on Android, you can figure it out. But please share this with someone. You can always listen to my podcast on my website, frangill.me. Everything will be in the show notes. Friends, you are great. Love you guys. Hopefully, Lord willing, I will see you next week. Bye-bye, buddies. We'll be right back.